Our psalm reading this morning is Psalm 27. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that you will enlighten our minds and our hearts this morning through the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. And we pray now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is the word of the Lord. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. Now, the Gospel of John doesn't give us much information about who this man Nicodemus is, just that he is a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council. That ruling council would be the Sanhedrin, which is like the Jewish Supreme Court. To hold a seat on the Sanhedrin, one would usually have to be quite wealthy. And Nicodemus was assuredly well educated in the Hebrew law. This was not one of the common folk, probably not someone who had heard Jesus preaching on the hillside somewhere and decided to follow him into the darkness. As a member of the Sanhedrin, Nicodemus was one who most likely had sat in judgment of other Jews who had been accused of violating the law. But his encounter with Jesus is different. He had not come to stand in judgment, but rather to ask questions, because Nicodemus had a hunch that Jesus had authority from God. This passage occurs only in the third chapter of John's Gospel, so we haven't seen much of Jesus' ministry yet. He has been declared the Lamb of God by John the Baptist, and John the Baptist has confirmed that he saw the Holy Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on Jesus. Jesus calls his first disciples. He changes water into wine at a wedding banquet, and he chases the money changers from the temple. So it's very early in the Gospel of John when we are introduced to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a member of the Jewish ruling council. Those of you who are familiar with the whole of John's Gospel know that Nicodemus will reappear briefly in two later places. First, interceding and defending Jesus with other Pharisees in chapter 7. And in chapter 19, following Jesus' death on the cross, it says, later Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. So Nicodemus will appear later in the Gospel of John as one who cares for Jesus' body. Now, he is a wealthy and powerful Pharisee, but he clearly has an early understanding of who Jesus is, and he seeks to have a conversation with him. Nicodemus emerges out of the night's darkness, seeking light from the teacher he believes to be sent from God. It was a secret meeting, a private meeting, away from the crowds that hovered around Jesus during the day. It was a safe place to ask a question, to ponder the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven with one who appeared to know the answers. Nevertheless, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he did not ask a question at first. Instead, he brought his own announcement of who Jesus is. Nicodemus, with his many pedigrees, a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews, a teacher in Israel, came to Jesus and said, I have seen your miracles, your signs and wonders, and I know that you are from God. I think I know who you are. Can't you imagine? Can't you just imagine what Jesus' response could have been? He could have said, "You think you know me, but you really have no clue. You saw me turn water into wine at a wedding banquet. You saw me chase out the greedy money changers who were defiling the temple. And you saw me, and from what you think you know who I am. Is this your profession of faith? Because if it is, then you know nothing of faith, because faith involves commitment and risks. You're sneaking over here in the dark of night in order to tell me who I am is not faith." Yes, Jesus could have said that. He could have spoken in terms that Nicodemus would easily understand. But instead, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Well, that's not the answer that will be easily understood by a rich Pharisee. Go be born again if you really want to see the power and majesty of God. But that didn't make any sense to Nicodemus. How can one be born when he is old? Well, you see, Jesus knew the questions that Nicodemus really wanted answered. He really wanted to know what Jesus' mission was all about. Why was he here? Where was he going? Was there a place in Jesus' life for someone like Nicodemus? Could he someday come out of the darkness and acknowledge that he knows who Jesus really is? Could he someday have a sustained faith in something and someone bigger and greater than what he currently knew on earth? Jesus recognized Nicodemus' searching and answered the questions he did not know how to ask. Jesus told Nicodemus a story of a birth, a story of being born of the Spirit. Jesus told him that faith is born of the Spirit, a Spirit that blows like the wind, blows where it chooses. We hear the sound of it, but we do not know where it comes from or where it goes. Jesus told Nicodemus that life in God's kingdom cannot be earned, and living in the Spirit cannot be controlled. It cannot be charted and calculated. All of this was very confusing to Nicodemus, who only knew how to trust in the security of the rituals and the doctrines and the moral instruction of the synagogue. He was sincere in asking how to be born again. He wanted to understand what Jesus was saying, but it didn't make sense. Jesus explained that this is not about what you do. You do not give birth to yourself, but rather God breathes life into you and gives you birth from above. And when you are born of the Spirit, when you begin to trust in the Spirit, you find yourself living a life that is eternally in God's presence. It is the Spirit of God who births us into eternal life. And after all of the confusion of talking about being born again and the wind blowing this way and that, and the kingdom of God being for those who are born of water and the Spirit, yes, after totally blowing Nicodemus's mind with all of this talk he couldn't understand, Jesus came around to talking in simple terms. For if Nicodemus truly believed that Jesus was from God, if he had come under the cover of darkness to be with Jesus, to see who he really is, then Jesus did not disappoint him. Jesus said, "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." Ah, but that was about to change, Nicodemus, because the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And then Jesus gave Nicodemus the true answer that he had been looking for all along. He confirmed his hunch that Jesus was from God. And he made the trek in the darkness worthwhile. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." The world was in transition. Jesus had not yet gone to the cross to bring about eternal life, but he was letting Nicodemus know what God's mission was for his Son. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the darkness, but he left in the light. What would it mean for us to understand that we are born of the Spirit? Most of us think we know who God is, who God calls us to be, what God wants us to do. What if we were to stop telling God what we think we know and to listen for his word to sweep over us without direction from us? What if we did not hold back but allowed the Spirit to take us to places that are not on our agenda? What would happen to us if we listened for God to call forth from us that which we did not recognize as being possible? God calls into existence things that do not yet exist. God calls forth life which we cannot bring about on our own. And what might he be calling forth from us now? Can we allow ourselves to be vulnerable to the untamed wind? And can we listen for what we have been unwilling to hear? Can we see in one another not something to critique or judge, but rather the image of the God who has given us birth? God called Abraham and Sarah from barrenness to birth, calling into existence things in their lives that did not yet exist. They were willing to trust God, moving from despair to hope, from old securities to new gifts, from death to life. Leaving what they knew to be true, they went where they had never been, allowing their lives to be reshaped by the one who came to them in a birth story. The invitation to Abraham and Sarah, the invitation to Nicodemus, the invitation to all of us comes as an invitation to be born again, to be born of the Spirit. And being born of the Spirit means embracing the mysterious power of God, acknowledging and confessing that we do not have the final say on our lives. Friends, all who are born of the Spirit of God are led by the Spirit of God. And to that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are so grateful that you give us the opportunity to be born of the Spirit. You give us the chance to follow you in all of the wonderful and untamed ways that might exist. Lord, we thank you for loving us so much that you sent your one and only Son, that we indeed might have eternal life. During this season of Lent, as we look towards the celebration on Easter Sunday of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from his death on the cross, we pray that you will keep us always mindful that in this season we are called to follow him. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that we enjoy. We thank you for the beauty of this day. We thank you for the arrival of spring this week. And Lord, we pray for those who are in need of your comfort, your healing, your care. Lord, we do lift up to you Emily. We lift up to you Josephine and David. Lord, we rejoice in the healing that we see occurring in Flo and in Janine. Lord, we lift up to you this morning a very special prayer for Joseph as he faces future procedures from the doctors. And we just pray that you will give them the wisdom to know exactly what to do and that these procedures may occur easily and without incident. And Lord, we pray for the complete and total healing for Joseph. We thank you, Lord, for the friendship and the love that he brings to this church. And Lord, we lift up to you Heather and her family as they go through some challenging times as a family. Lord, we lift up to you Les Blevins as he is about to enter a new phase of his life, a time where he will transition to a new home. And we pray that you will make this transition easy, that it will be one that he accepts and one in which he will receive the kind of care that is so important to him at this particular time in his life. And Lord, we thank you for the love and the care that both Terry and Joyce have provided for him to this point. We pray that you will bless them and give them much needed rest. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to pray for those, even the ones that we don't know personally, those who appear on our prayer board. Lord, we just lift them to you all now. So thank you. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And I realized I did not name Mickey and the McGuire's eldest daughter, who are in need of healing from pneumonia, but we do lift them up as well. We'll be praying for them this coming week. Let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.